नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Offering our dandavat pranams to the topmost swan-like devotee and wandering mendicant, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly came to us who were standing in the darkness of Kali Yuga with our eyes closed shut, and He so mercifully opened our eyes with the torchlight of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today, we're studying the Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text Number 3. Yes? Dvo daive pitikarye trin Ekaikam ubayatrava Bojayat susamriddhapi Shraddhe karyanna vistaram Dvo daive piti Two. Daive During by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. During the period for offering oblations to the demigods, one should invite only two brahmanas. And while offering oblations to the forefathers, one may invite three brahmanas. Or in either case, only one brahmana will suffice. Even though one is very opulent, he should not endeavor to invite more brahmanas or make various expensive arrangements on those occasions. So two brahmanas to offer oblations to the demigods. Three to the forefathers. But in either case, one will suffice. Don't spend too much money. Don't get too involved. Okay? That's the meaning of this verse. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As we have already mentioned, Srila Advaita Acharya, during the generally observed ceremony to offer oblations to the forefathers, invited only Haridas Thakur. Thus he followed this principle. Name bhaktas chaturvedi mad bhaktas vapacha priya. The Lord says, it is not necessary that one become very expert in Vedic knowledge before he can become my bhakta or devotee. Even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, he can become my devotee and be very dear to me in spite of having taken birth in such a family. Therefore, offerings should be given to my devotee, and whatever my devotee has offered me should be accepted. Following this principle, one should invite a first-class Brahmana or Vaishnava, a realized soul, and feed him while observing the Shraddha ceremony to offer oblations to one's forefathers. Om dvo daive pittikarye trin ekaikam ubayatrava bhojayet susamriddhopi shraddhe kuryanna vistaram. Narada Muni is saying that when we are offering oblations to the demigods, we should only invite two brahmanas. But while we're offering oblations to the forefathers, you may invite three brahmanas. Or in either case, only one brahmana will suffice. Even though one is very opulent, he should not endeavor to invite more brahmanas or make various expensive arrangements on those occasions. This is instruction for civilized human beings. So, what is he actually saying here? What he's actually saying is that we should offer some respect to the demigods. We should offer some respects to the forefathers. Is that what he's saying? Yes or no? Are you afraid to answer? Yes or no? Yes, very good. In either case, however, one will suffice You can have two maximum in one case or three maximum in another case, but in either case, one will suffice. However, it shouldn't be opulent. We shouldn't invite many people, and we shouldn't make various expensive arrangements on these occasions. Why is that? In other words, it should be simple. Why? Because elaborate, expensive pujas are for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is this correct? How many people agree? Topmost worship goes to who? Sri Sri Radha Govinda, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Yes. So these are instructions for civilized human beings. We come to this standard to be civilized human being. Now in the purport, Prabhupada seems to disagree. Let us read the purport again. As we have already mentioned, Srila Advaita Acharya, during the generally observed ceremony to offer oblations to the forefathers, invited only one person, Haridas Thakur. And he followed this principle. Name bhaktas chaturvedi ma bhaktas vapacha priya, which Prabhupada translates as this. The Lord says, it is not necessary that one become very expert in Vedic knowledge before he can become my devotee. Prabhupada is giving the translation for the whole shloka, although he only gave one line. Even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, he can become my devotee and be very dear to me in spite of having taken birth in such a family. Therefore, offering should be given to my devotee, and whatever my devotee has offered me should be accepted. So Prabhupada is saying that the person who should be invited must be a Vaishnava, not just a Brahmin. Higher than Brahmin is Vaishnav. And that Vaishnav has to be very devoted to Krishna. So Advaita Acharya followed that principle. He took that general instruction of Narada Muni and he took it one step higher. Why did he take it higher? Because he had the knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, you cannot take the next step. You can only act according to your own understanding. Everybody acts according to their own understanding. If you want to increase your understanding, there's only two ways to do it. Not three, not one, only two. Step one, you have to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with full care and attention so that the heart becomes cleansed of all anarthas, and then Krishna will reveal to you Divya Gyan. Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. How many times do we sing this? Every day. Right? What song is that? Guru Puja. Divigyan Hride Prakashita, that divine knowledge becomes manifested where? Hride, in the heart. It doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside. It's not Bahiranga, external, it's Antaranga, internal. And who is giving that divine knowledge, that Divya Gyan? Okay, some people say Guru, some say Super Soul. How many people say Super Soul? How many people say Guru? How many people honestly don't know? And the rest of you too lazy to raise your arms. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto. I am seated in everyone's heart. Mata smritir jnanam apoanam cha. Who's speaking this? Krishna. Who's seated in everyone's heart? Sorry? Krishna. As param atma. But Krishna, no doubt. So when Krishna sees how you're serving nicely the guru, then he gives you his blessings. And if he sees we're only taking guru for some status symbol, for some prestige in society, I can say, I have guru. My guru is topmost Jagat Guru. Then he does not give that gyan, because this is the wrong mood. Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. So if we don't deserve, Krishna will not give. But if we're deserving, then we can desire that, and Krishna will fulfill that desire. So that's the one way to get higher understanding, by chanting Hare Krishna. Second, what is the second way? This is not a difficult question. By reading whose books? Reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Who did he write the books for? His followers, people of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada himself read his books. Shruta Kirti told me one time that he came into Prabhupada's rooms and Prabhupada was reading one of his books. And Shruta Kirti commented, "Ah, Srila Prabhupada, you're also enjoying reading your book." Prabhupada said, "It's not my book. I have not written. It's all coming from Krishna. So I'm relishing what Krishna is saying." So in other words, every night, in the still of the night, when Prabhupada was up translating, he became the transparent via media for Sri Krishna to speak through him, to give his Bhaktivedanta purports. He was inspired by Paramatma. There's a famous story in 1975 in Los Angeles. I was there at the time. And some reporters came to interview Prabhupada. And Rameshwar had brought the reporters and introduced them to Prabhupada. They were asking questions. And they were not so respectful. They were trying to get some sensational angle for their story. So then one of them said, "Does God speak to you?" So when Rameshwar heard that, he was thinking, boy, this guy's really offensive, you know. So he wanted to say something to give an explanation. So he said, "Actually, when God speaks to you, it means he speaks through the parampara system and through the scriptures. That's how God speaks to us." Prabhupada turned to him and said, "No, directly." It's a very famous story. Directly. Of course, Rameshwar was only devotee for 4 or 5 years at the time, 4 years. So, but he tried to, you know, smooth things out. But Prabhupada corrected him. "No, directly. Krishna is speaking to him directly." "Does Krishna speak to you directly? Yes or no?" "I can't hear." "Some say yes, some say no. Who are saying yes? Who says no?" Okay, the yes people are right. The no people just can't hear him. That's all. Krishna's speaking to us all the time, but we don't hear. We don't listen. We may hear, but we don't pay any attention. Krishna's always speaking to us, always guiding us, always, especially because we're his devotee. We're giving our life to him. So he's giving guidance to us. But we don't hear. We don't listen. Now, supposing you're having conversation with someone and you're speaking and they're kind of like looking around and this and that, and then you think, well, they're not really hearing what I'm saying. And then you say, what did you think of that last point I made? And then they say, "Well, you know, to be honest, I was thinking something else. I didn't really hear it." So how do you feel? You don't feel good. Do you want to carry on speaking with that person? Probably not. If you speak to someone and they don't hear, then you're not enthused to speak. But if you speak to people who hear what you have to say, they ask questions, they inquire, then you become very enthusiastic to continue speaking. Is this correct? Is this our experience? So Krishna is speaking to us all the time. Every one of us has had the experience, we're doing something somewhere, and all of a sudden, a voice comes and says, "Do like this or do like that." And then you think about it. And another thought comes to your mind, and you do something else. Then later on, sometime later you realize, I should have listened to that first voice. How many people have had that experience? So what happened there? What happened was that Krishna spoke to you, gave you some good advice. You thought about it, your mind analyzed it, and you came up with some better advice than Krishna's. And then you found out later, whoops, my advice wasn't so good. The first voice was better. I should have listened to the first voice. Now, you may not realize that that's Krishna, that that's Paramatma. But after it happened to me so many times, I began to analyze, well, what's going on here? Why is it that the first voice is always right and the second voice is always wrong? And who is that first voice and who is that second voice? So after analyzing and studying it, I began to realize that the first voice can see the future. The second voice can't see the future. So because the first voice can see the future, the second voice analyzes it, and in this time and space, it doesn't make sense because he's only here, not there. But when he comes to the future, he realizes the first voice was right. So Krishna's guiding us, do like this, because Krishna can see the future. Because who else can see the future? I certainly can't. Only Krishna can. So he allows us to see the future. And if we follow him, he'll speak more. And the more you listen and the more you train yourself up to hear that first voice, even though it may not seem logical at the time, as soon as you come to the future, it'll be perfectly logical. You understand? This is called Paramatma realized. Hearing Paramatma. Now, the more you hear, the more you follow, guess what? The more Paramatma speaks to you. So Prabhupada, for example, he heard Paramatma constantly. Paramatma was guiding Prabhupada every step of the way, and that's why Prabhupada was so successful. Pure devotee never makes a mistake. Why he never makes a mistake? Because he's always guided by the Supreme Lord who sees past, present, and future. So here, Advaita Acharya is following another principle, a higher principle than that's offered by Narada Muni. So following this principle, Srila Prabhupada said, one should invite a first-class Brahmana or Vaishnava, in other words, a realized soul, and feed him while observing the Shraddha ceremony to offer oblations to one's forefathers. Now, someone may criticize Advaita Acharya. It says in the Bhagavatam to do like this, and you're doing like that. You're not following the Bhagavatam. You have a better idea. They may criticize Advaita Acharya. We do that too. If we see that someone's not following the scripture, we say, hey, Prabhu, this is wrong. You're not following. It should be like this, not like that. So in every society, there's the conservative group and the liberal group. In our ISKCON society, there is a conservative group and a liberal group. In the Gaudiya Math, there is a conservative group and a liberal group. Srila Prabhupada from the Gaudiya Math, was he with the liberal group or the conservative group? Who has an idea? Anybody have an idea? Okay, you're all honest. You don't have an idea. He was with the liberal group, because what did he do? He introduced things that were never done before. He brought ladies into the ashram. He gave Gayatri Mantra to the ladies. He had the ladies go on the altar to do puja. And therefore he was criticized by the conservative group. This is not in Shastra. This is not the way we've always done it. And what was Prabhupada's response? They do not know how to preach. Because by allowing women to come in, he expanded this movement all over the world. The Gaudiya Math, who didn't, they didn't expand. Now they are allowing. Now there's sannyasis traveling from Gaudiya Math, and they're bringing in the women also, following in Prabhupada's footsteps. And as the women join, the numbers increase more and more. And then you marry the men and the women, and you have a Grihastha community. They have children, and the preaching expands all over the whole world. If you only have brahmacharis and sannyasis, it is impossible to spread this teaching all over the world. You have to have grihasthas. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he was spreading his Harinam Sankirtan movement all over Bengal. And then he was requested by Nityananda Prabhu and others, you should spread this all over India. He said, who will hear me? Who will listen to me? I'm just a householder. Then take sannyas. Why did Lord Chaitanya take sannyas? Because in society, it was considered anyone who wears saffron cloth, a sannyasi, was worthy of respect. Doesn't matter what his philosophy was, whether he was Mayavadi or Vaishnav, this, that, whatever, whether he smoked ganja or not, whether he was pure or not. If he wore saffron cloth, you got respect. So they said, just take sannyas. People will offer you respect, then they will hear what you have to say. He didn't want to do that, but in the end, he followed the advice and he took sannyas. But what happened later on? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu abolished sannyas in his movement. He told Nityananda, who was a lifelong brahmachari, what do you call a lifelong brahmachari? Naishtika brahmachari. He told him to get married. Sent him back to Bengal, and he married two daughters of Suryadas Sarkeo, Vashudha and Janava. And from then on, nobody took sannyas. No one wore a Brahmin thread. He got rid of the Brahmin thread also. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noi. We don't care. For your sannyasi, Brahmin, shudra, it doesn't matter. It's all external. Bahiranga. Jai Krishna Tattva Veta She Guru Hoy. Anybody who understands the truth about Krishna, he is the Guru. And this is what is said here. That even though a person may be very learned in the Vedas, if he is not a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, engaged in pure devotional service, then he is not accepted by Krishna. Not accepted as my devotee. Now, how do we know that someone's a devotee of Krishna? Only when Krishna accepts him as a devotee. Saragaye makile tilak gorumile na. I may be dressed paka with tilak everywhere, but if Lord Chaitanya doesn't accept me, I'm not his devotee, even though I may be presenting myself as his devotee. But I am only his devotee when he accepts me and says, yes, he is my devotee. Just like Guru. He is my Guru only if he accepts me as his disciple. If he doesn't accept me, then I'm not his disciple. Is that logical? Yes or no? Okay, good. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page. So such a person who's fully knowledgeable in the Vedas, knows everything, he's a jnanavan, still, if he's not accepted by Krishna, he's not a devotee, unless he is engaged in pure devotional service. On the other hand, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to Krishna if he is a pure devotee with no other motive but just to serve the Lord. He has no motive to enjoy fruit of activity or mental speculation. Such a person is accepted by the Lord as his devotee. And all respect should be given to such a devotee. And Krishna says that such devotees, such Vaishnavas, are as worshipable as he is. Name bhaktas chaturvedi mad bhaktas vapacha priyatas mai deyan tato grayam satcha pujo yatahyahum. That's the shloka. So the Vaishnava is in the highest position because he's accepted by the Lord. Now, in this canto 7, in this chapter here by Narada Muni, instructions for civilized human beings, and in the previous chapter, instructions for the grihasthas, he's making classifications, categories. This person at this level, this person at that level, this person at this level, this person at another level. He's the best, he's the worst, he's the highest, he's the lowest. That's what Narada Muni is doing. That's what's in the Shastra. But does a Vaishnav do that? Does a Vaishnava see things like that? Yes or no? No. Because a Vaishnava sees everyone as Prabhu. I am Das, 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 Anudas, I am last, and everyone is worshipable by me. Everyone is more advanced than me. Everyone is my Prabhu. Is that the teaching that we're being given by Prabhupada? Yes? Is that the teaching being given here in this Bhagavatam? No. Well, I'm talking about this chapter of the Bhagavatam. Overall in the Bhagavatam, yes, but not in this chapter. So why is this chapter speaking on a different level? There's a reason. What is the reason? Because the speaker is speaking to an audience. If I'm speaking to an audience of children, can I talk about calculus? No. Can I talk about 2 plus 2 equals 4? Yes, that they can understand. So, Narada Muni is preaching to an audience. Depending on your audience, you can give them the lowest teaching, the middle teaching, or the highest teaching. Now here, during Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada wants to give highest teaching. Why? Because you're all Vaishnavas. We all dedicated your life to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're all accepted by Prabhupada. You're all accepted by Guru. That means you're accepted by Krishna. Therefore, you get the highest teaching. Prabhupada gave highest teaching, but was criticized by some of his godbrothers, the conservative side of Gaudiya Mutt. But what about the liberal side of Gaudiya Mutt? They glorified him. And it was them, from them, that's from their side that came that Prabhupada was Shaktivesh Avatar. He was directly empowered by Krishna to fulfill the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That did not come from us, from ISKCON. When we heard that, we immediately accepted. And we also say now. But it came from one sannyasi, Yajabar Maharaj. Yajabar Maharaj went back to Navadvip and he spoke to Sridhar Maharaj. And Sridhar Maharaj, when he heard that, he agreed, yes. Now, one of my friends, his name escapes me right now. He was a Gaudiya Mutt brahmachari at the time. Now he's a sannyasi. But anyway, he heard this. So when he went back to his mutt, he said, this Swami Maharaj from ISKCON, he's Shaktivesh Avatar. And they said, oh, how you can say such a thing? No, I'm not saying. Sridhar Maharaj is saying. So some elements had difficulty accepting. So the conservative element and the liberal element, they're always at odds with each other, even in our movement. Now, Prabhupada, as I said, he introduced a new standard. Also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced a whole new standard. What did he introduce? He reintroduced sannyas. After Lord Chaitanya left the planet, for 400 years, there was no sannyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and Bhaktisiddhanta reintroduced it. The liberal people glorified him, and the conservatives said, what are you doing? This is bogus. This is not our parampara. This is not our system. He also reintroduced Brahmin thread. Now, why did he do that? Was he speculating? Was he going against the desires of Lord Chaitanya? So why did he do it? Same reason that Lord Chaitanya originally took sannyas. And what was that? For the purpose of preaching. He had to reintroduce sannyas because the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya had fallen into disrepute due to the Sahajya Sampradaya, which had given the Gaudiya Vaishnavas a bad name and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission a bad name. So he reintroduced sannyas because still in India, people see a sannyasi, they offer respect, whether he's a bogi or a yogi, whether he smokes ganja or he's pavitra, they still offer respect. So he reintroduced sannyas. So he was also liberal. Prabhupada introduced ladies. He was liberal. Now in our ISKCON today, we have our liberal section and our conservative section in ISKCON. It's always like that. You can't get away from it. It's human nature. But if we want to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, we have to be forward-thinking. We have to move with the times. We cannot say, well, this is the way it's always been done, therefore we won't change. That's conservative. But it's not the method that Lord Chaitanya accepted. It's not the method that Bhaktisiddhanta accepted. It's not the method that Prabhupada accepted. They were all liberal. Lord Chaitanya was known as a reformer. He introduced something that was so liberal that the entire Brahmin caste freaked. And what was that? He took the Maha Mantra out of the temple, put it to music, and had all the lower classes singing and dancing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This had never been done before. And the brahmanas freaked. They went to the Qazi. This person is destroying our dharma. You must stop him. You all know this, yeah? You've read? You've studied? So, our movement is a movement of great teachers, great reformers, who took the next step to do what was necessary to preach this movement, to get it out to everyone. So, Prabhupada explained to us how to do this. Certain guidelines we have to follow. You want to know those guidelines? Should I continue? Prabhupada explained to us there's two things when dealing with philosophy. One is a principle, the other is a detail. Details can always be changed. Principles cannot be changed. So Lord Chaitanya, Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, they changed the details, but they didn't change the principles. You understand? Like a detail is whether you wear saffron cloth or white cloth. It's just a detail. Doesn't matter. Because saffron cloth and white cloth only has to do with something material. And what is that material thing? Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma means you have four varnas and four ashrams to regulate society in the material world. In the spiritual world, everyone's a family. Krishna, all the gopis and gopas, they're all related. They're all family. It's all one big or humongous, gigantic, happy family. Everybody's serving everyone else in ecstasy. Every word is a song, every step is a dance, every thought is a thought of love, and every act is an act of devotion. Happy family. So Prabhupada wanted that in his ISKCON. Because normally sannyasis, they leave the family. Sannyasis have nothing to do with society, Vedic sannyas. But in ISKCON, the sannyasi is part of our family. The ISKCON family. It's a new concept of sannyas. Nothing to do with Vedic concept, but has to do with Goloka Vrindavan concept. You understand? So giving Gayatri mantra to ladies is not a principle, it's a detail. So he could change that because it's only a detail, it's not a principle. What is the detail? Because everyone is Nitya Krishna Das. This life, woman's body, next life, man body. Next life, woman body, next life, man body. Next life, animal body. Next life. But the Atma, the spirit soul, is always Nitya Krishna Das. So Prabhupada didn't give to the body, he gave to the spirit soul. Every spirit soul who came forward to surrender to Krishna, Prabhupada gave Maha Mantra and Gayatri Mantra. That's a detail. What's a principle that we can't change? Anybody can mention one? How about meat eating? Is that a detail or a principle? That's a principle. You cannot kill another living entity and eat that other living entity. That you can never change. Intoxication, that you can never change. Gambling, can never change. Illicit sex, you can never change. Because those activities are the four pillars of sinful life. And those four pillars hold up a roof. And people come and take shelter under that roof. Shelter of intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. And spiritual life is to destroy those pillars and have that whole thing come crashing down. Because we're going to take shelter of four other pillars. The pillars of integrity, cleanliness, compassion, and austerity. Those four pillars and their roof, and we come in and take shelter in that place. Because the four sinful activities destroy those qualities of integrity, compassion, cleanliness, and austerity. Each and every one of them destroys them. So we stop those things so that these qualities can manifest in our heart. So that's a principle. So now you understand the difference between a principle and a detail. So the acharyas, they change the details according to Deshkalpatra. What does that mean in English? Time, place, and circumstance. According to the time, the place, the circumstance, the people, the receptiveness of the audience, I give the message so that they can imbibe it and have a change of heart and a change of direction in their life. If I am speaking the eternal truth of the Shastra, but my audience cannot understand a word that I am saying, and they go away, not one heart is changed, was I preaching? I wasn't really. Because I didn't communicate to anybody. So preaching means communicating. Now who will hear what we have to say? So many people out there. There's only one class of person who's going to hear what you have to say, and all the rest will not hear. And the only persons who are going to hear what you have to say are those people who like you, who consider you a friend. Anybody who doesn't like you, doesn't consider you a friend, they will not be interested in what you have to say. That's natural. If I don't like somebody, I don't want to have anything to do with them. And if I like someone, then I'm interested. So preaching first, the first thing you do as a preacher is to make friends with someone. And how do you do that? The expert preacher, in 1 minute, he can make a friendly relationship with someone that immediately in 1 minute they like him. They want to hear what he has to say. So we have to come to that level. And what is that level? Soul to soul. I'm speaking my soul to his soul. If I speak my mind to his mind, my ego to his ego, nothing will happen. But when from my soul to his soul, heart to heart, in a gentle, loving way, seeing all his good qualities, praising his good qualities, then immediately he likes you, wants to hear what you have to say. But if we say, here, take this book, you're in Maya, no one will be interested. Leave me alone. Leave me in peace. No time. Give to someone else. So you understand? So these instructions by Narada Muni are for civilized human beings. What Prabhupada is teaching us is beyond civilized human beings. Varnashram Dharma is to bring people to the level of civilized human being, or sattva guna. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada's ISKCON is to bring people from sattva guna to shuddha sattva, to realize I am not this body, I am not Indian, I am not American, I am not black, I am not white, I am not male, I am not female, I am not rich, I am not poor, I am Nitya Krishna Das. It's a transcendental movement to give transcendental consciousness to people. So when we understand what is going on here in the Shastra, how they are preaching to different classes of people to gradually raise them, we also have to do the same. We may meet someone who is a meat eater. We cannot give him the highest tattva. First, we have to convince him to stop eating meat. So our whole preaching has to be on this level. Gradually he stops, then we can take him next, higher, 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 gradually, step by step. So we have to understand, before we preach, at what level people are at, how they will receive it. Will they be receptive? Will they like us? Will they take it seriously? So that we have to become expert in presenting the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And this way, we're assisting Srila Prabhupada, we're assisting Bhaktisiddhanta, we're assisting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and our lives become perfect. Janma sarta kori kora para upakar. Our lives become perfect when we are engaged in serving others for their benefit. Para upakar means for the benefit of others. And that is this movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Consciousness. we must have Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If there are any points for discussion, I would be happy to answer any questions or resolve any doubts. Yes, Prabhu.
You said that the principles and the details, I have to one question in this, that in ISKCON movement, chanting 16 rounds is a principle or it is a detail?
That's a principle.
Then how can the Kirtaniya Sadahari can be a principle?
How it can be a principle?
Means the principle could be the Kirtaniya Sadahari, right?
Okay, and so now you're misunderstanding 16 rounds. Let me explain it to you, okay? There's two kinds of japa. Do you know that? Do you know there's just two kinds?
Yeah, one is silent japa and is kirtan japa.
No. There's 16 round japa and there's 24 hour japa. 16 round japa is what you do just you by yourself. Private meditation. 24 hour japa is where you're chanting Hare Krishna everywhere you go. You're not keeping track. You're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then you meet someone, you preach, you talk. Prabhupada was always doing his 64-round japa and his 24-hour japa. You never saw Prabhupada without his bead bag. He'd be on a morning walk, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. Then he'd stop, talk, meet someone, preach, this, that, and then carry on chanting. That's 24-hour japa. But your private japa, your 16-round japa, that's your private time with Krishna, your private darshan with Krishna. Just try to imagine this. One day, one of your godbrothers comes to you and says, Guru Maharaj wants to see you. Oh, he wants to see me? Yes, he's in his room. You go in, it's just you and Guru Maharaj, private darshan. You're sitting there and you're listening to everything he has to say and he's speaking to you one-on-one. And when you come out, everyone says, what did he say? What did he say? You understand? This is private darshan with Guru. Japa, 16-round japa, is your private darshan with Krishna. What is 16-round japa?
It is a chanting means speaking with Krishna directly.
It's your private darshan with Krishna. One-on-one, private darshan with Krishna. Now supposing you go in for your private darshan with Guru, and he's speaking to you, but your mind is wandering here, there, and everywhere. Suppose. Then he says, did you hear my last point? I'm sorry, Guru Maharaj, I didn't hear. You come out of the room. Everyone says, what did he say? I can't remember. So how is your japa? You can compare it to those two devotees having private darshan of Guru. You understand the point?
But this is about the japa. I mean, I was asking about the principle and the details. I'm not getting still.
Okay, I'm getting to the heart of the matter.
Okay.
So the principle is always chant japa. The minimum is 16 rounds. Prabhupada said minimum 16 rounds. Don't do less, but you can always do more. The principle is Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalonas, Javanas, Javanas, Deva Gitiranyata. How many times is it stressed in this one shloka?
Three times.
Three times. That's your opinion. My opinion is 8 times. Think again. How many times is it stressed?
Harinama, Harinama.
Okay, let's go. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama.
Kalonasti.
You left out.
Kevalam.
No, you left out.
Eva Kevalam.
Eva, what is the meaning Eva?
Only.
No? Kevalam means only. What is the meaning Eva?
Certainly.
Certainly. Is that an emphasis?
Yes.
That's 4.
Okay.
Kevalam means only. Only means everything else rejected. Only this. Is that an emphasis?
Yes.
Nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. No other way, no other way, no other way. How many times is it emphasized?
It's 8 times.
8 times. How many words in the shloka? 11.
11.
Okay. 11 words in the shloka and 8 times Harinama is emphasized. Therefore, is that a principle or a detail?
It's a principle.
Obviously.
Okay.
But I'm going deeper. I'm telling you, how is your chanting? Because the principle is to chant with care and attention. Not to be thinking so many things. Not to be wandering here and there while I'm chanting. And I give the example of private darshan with guru. So you get the point. Because your japa, your 16 rounds, is private darshan with Krishna. And how are you behaving in your private darshan with Krishna? What consciousness are you giving? Are you maybe not taking full advantage of my private darshan with Krishna? In our philosophy, is there any difference between Krishna and his holy name?
No.
No. So if I chant Hare Krishna, is Krishna there?
Yes.
Am I aware that he's there? That's what I should be asking myself. Am I aware that Krishna is right here, right now? Each and every one of us has to ask that question and then make whatever adjustment is necessary to become aware. Then you'll make advancement. You went to school, is it not?
Yeah.
You sat in front of the teacher and you took notes, is it not?
Yes.
You studied those notes. You passed the exam, isn't it not?
Yes.
Therefore, you know how to concentrate.
Yes.
You know how to hear when the teacher was speaking. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, why you're not hearing? Why you're not focusing? You already know how to do it. You've already done it. But for Harinam, my mind will start wandering everywhere. This is our defect. And we have to correct it. If you don't correct it, then you're like the disciple who had private darshan with Guru and was spacing out the whole time and missed out on the deep exchange. And when he came out, they said, what did Guru say? He had no idea, because he didn't hear. And after you come out for your japa, what was your relationship with Krishna? I don't know. But Krishna was there, but you weren't there. You see? Krishna there, but you're not there. Prabhupada said that we travel at the speed of mind. In 1 second, I can be here and in New York City. So similarly, during my japa period, I'm traveling at the speed of mind all over. Past, present, future. So we have to correct this. Because the principle is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, without offense. Am I right? How many people here are chanting Hare Krishna without offense? Would you like to chant Hare Krishna mantra without offense? Would you like to do it now? How many people want to do it right now? Okay, sit properly. In order to do this, you have to close your eyes. You close your eyes. You take deep breath. Breathe in and breathe out slowly. Again, breathe in slowly and breathe out slowly. The reason you're doing this is because this deep breathing in and out slowly calms the mind. So we're going to breathe in again slowly. And then breathe out slowly. Mind becoming more and more calm. Now you think that in your life you have offended some people. What we want to do now is we want to ask forgiveness of anybody that I offended before I was a devotee or while I was a devotee. In my mind, pray to Krishna, please Krishna. I'm now asking forgiveness from all these people that I offended. So you do that right now. You ask for forgiveness for offending all those people and beg for their mercy. It will take 1 minute while you do that. Now also in my past, there are people who offended me. And in my heart, I held bad feelings towards them, negative feelings, because they hurt me or they cheated me or they offended me in some way. So now I'm going to do a meditation and I'm going to release all those negative feelings. No negative feelings towards those people anymore. Now I give them my blessings. I give them my love. So take another minute to meditate in this way. You forgive anybody who offended you and you now give them your blessings, your ashirvad. Now, we're going to open our hearts to Krishna. We're going to chant Krishna's name with feeling, with as much feeling as we can. You can't say there's no love in your heart. Love is in everyone's heart because we're Nitya Krishna Das. So I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to chant Krishna's holy name with as much feeling as I can and concentrating completely on the mantra. No thought will come to my mind. As soon as a thought comes, I shake my head. I stop it immediately. So I'm going to count to three and then we'll chant together. One, two, three. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So now we've chanted offenselessly, or at least we tried our level best to chant offenselessly. And Krishna appreciates this. This should be our daily meditation, to chant offenselessly. You want to know how to do it daily? When you sit down to chant your japa, the very first mantra should be done slowly with feeling, very slow. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you finish that round. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Second round, again you start the very first mantra with feeling. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you finish that round. So before you start every round, the very first mantra, you do slowly, with full care and attention, with as much feeling as you can for Krishna. And at the end of your 16 rounds, you've chanted 16 mantras offenselessly. Now, after you feel comfortable doing that for a while, you can do the first two rounds, first two mantras like that. Then after 16 rounds, you've now chanted 32 mantras offenselessly. Now when you feel comfortable with that, that the mind is staying out of the picture, full concentration is there, then you can introduce the first three mantras of each round. Now you're chanting 48 mantras offenselessly. You go slowly, step by step, because what you're doing is training up your mind and opening your heart at the same time. If you find that your mind is starting to come, and you have to block it out and keep on doing until you can do those three mantras without the mind being there. Then you go to four. When you can do seven mantras, the first seven mantras of each round, that way, slowly, with feeling, the mind out of the picture, full concentration, then you've chanted one round offenselessly. One out of 16. That's good. You're on your way. On your way to Krishna. Step by step. Excuse me. Step by step. Dhire dhire. Gradual process to becoming pure devotee. Because you must become pure devotee. You have joined this movement to become pure devotee. Your guru is guiding you to become pure devotee. He's teaching you how to become pure devotee. Because you are the next link in the guru parampara. Don't think it's not me, it's him. No, it's you. The responsibility is yours. One day, you will be the acharya. If you take this seriously, and you're meant to take it seriously. Hare Krishna. Any other points for discussion? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, thank you for the very wonderful class. Prabhuji, is this point of conservationist and liberal? So for the general mass in the society, is that they should be conservationist at least? They should not make changes they should leave it for the leader to be the one who brings about the changes, and the general mass should remain conservationist. Should it be like that?
Was Lord Chaitanya a leader?
Yes.
Was Bhaktisiddhanta a leader?
Yes.
Was Prabhupada a leader?
Yes.
Obviously it's for the leaders. Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So we should be conservationists.
Sorry?
So we, as the general mass, we should be conservationists.
As the general mass, you follow the instructions of your authority. However, let me give you an example. What happened in 1974 in New York. In 1972, one great leader in our movement took sannyas, May 1972. But 1 year later, he met a woman who said that she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune. She was from Japan. So he began preaching to her. And she showed some interest. And he was thinking, this is fantastic. She's the heiress of the Toyota fortune. You know Toyota motor cars? And then she was beginning to say, yes, I could become a devotee, and when I inherit the company, I can use all that money for preaching in America and Japan. So he was thinking, wow, this is a great opportunity. This should not be lost. So what happened? He decided he should marry her. He gave up sannyas in 1 year and married her. And he requested Prabhupada to initiate her. Now, he was the GBC and the temple president in New York Temple. But she was not qualified. Prabhupada gave her initiation because, as he had recommended, on his recommendation, Prabhupada said, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. But she wasn't pakka. So what happened was gradually, she was eating meat items. She would have chicken delivered to the temple. And even though he was now Grihastha, everyone still called him Maharaj. And when his name was listed to give the class, it was listed as so-and-so Goswami. And this Japanese woman was called, not by her devotee name, but she was called Maharani. And he was called Maharaj. Why? Because she was the heiress of the Toyota fortune. So everyone accepted them like that. But gradually, people who were visiting that temple, they noticed that there's something wrong here. And they would complain to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada got so many complaints, he set up an inquiry commission. And on that inquiry commission were three devotees, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Kirtanananda Maharaj, and Rupanuga. And finally, it came out that there was meat eating in the temple. There was all kinds of nonsense. And they were asked to leave. That was it, finished. But then how did Prabhupada deal with the situation? He spoke to the leaders in the temple, those who had been devotees for some time. He said, how you could allow this to go on? You should know better. You knew the principles. How you could allow this to go on? He was chastising them so heavily that they were shaking, crying. But to the new devotees, he said, you were properly situated, just following the instructions of your authority. You didn't engage any sinful activity. You didn't eat meat. You did the best, but you carried on your devotional service. So for the new devotees, he gave one instruction, and for the senior devotees, he chastised them. So you understand, Deshkal Patra, they should have known better. They should have known differently. So for the general mass of people who are like new devotees, they just follow. But those who are senior, they should know, what is the teaching? What is the difference between right and wrong? And they should not allow such things to go on. So Prabhupada was very disappointed that his senior men could not detect that it was bogus. One Gopal Krishna Adhikari, who is now Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. He said, I do not think that she's actually heiress of the Toyota fortune, because she just went out and bought a Toyota car. If she was the heiress, she would have got it free. And Prabhupada wrote back, this is very observant. Yes, you have understood. No one else has understood, but you have understood. You see what I'm saying? So the leaders, they have to know what is right, what is wrong, what is the principle, what is the detail. We can't expect the general mass, the new people, to know these things. But you're meant to be trained up to become a leader. Maybe today not a leader, but tomorrow must be leader. Otherwise, why we're training you? We're just training you to stay in the same place or to make advancement? To make advancement, yes. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So it was all bogus. She was not the heiress to the Toyota fortune. But because everyone thought she was, and being allured by that money, they all accepted her as something very special. See? Not based on Vaishnav qualities, but based on how much money she had. We should not be like that. We should not treat people who have money in a certain way and people who have no money in a different way. That's the bodily concept of life. It means we're not seeing spirit soul. We're not seeing antaranga, internal. We're seeing bahiranga, external. You understand the point? That means that our chanting of Hare Krishna is not purifying the heart. Because if the heart was purified, you'd know these things. That means that while I'm chanting Hare Krishna, my mind is far, far away. Now, I'll just make one last point. All of you who were in class, you all took notes. You know how to concentrate. But sometimes in class, your mind would wander, and you would miss a point. And you'd have to ask your neighbor, what was that last point he made? And you'd write it down. Is it not? Now, this is very important. The teaching is, from the lesson that you learn from this, is that when you think, you can't hear. As soon as you start thinking, you can't hear what the teacher is speaking. Therefore, you can't write it down. Therefore, you have to ask someone else who was hearing, who wasn't thinking. So when you think, you can't hear. You understand? Does everybody understand? So when you're chanting japa and you're thinking, can you hear the Maha Mantra? Nope. If you don't hear the Maha Mantra, it doesn't enter into the ear. If it doesn't enter into the ear, it doesn't enter into the heart. If it doesn't enter into the heart, no Cheto Darpanam Arjanam is taking place. You understand? Will your japa be better from now on? I hope so. I hope so, because if I'm speaking and you go away and there's no change of heart, then I wasted my whole time and energy. So I'm hoping that there's a change of heart and that you'll focus now on the Maha Mantra, chant better, and all become leaders and deliver India from this materialism that's killing it and bring India back to the path of Vaishnavism. The future is in your hands. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.